to The Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Pat straight in for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Joining us right now on the HRMP guest line, senior baseball writer for The Athletic. He and Ken Rosenthal broke the story with Mike Fiers. Yes, Mike Fiers, the rat, the trade, call him whatever you want. Broke the story with Mike Fiers on the Astros sign-stealing scandal. It was the author of the book Winning Fixes Everything. If you haven't read it, it was actually very well written, and it's very fairly written. It's not an Astros hate book. I know I read it cover to cover. And joining us, Evan Drellick. Evan, thanks for taking some time with us today. How you doing?
That's quite an intro. Good morning, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, I know you take a lot of scorn in this city because you broke the story. You did a lot of the investigative report. You kind of take a lot of shots for that, not necessarily fairly. But I've always thought that your coverage has been pretty even-handed and pretty fair. You don't generally take gratuitous shots. Everything you've done has been based in fact. I thought your book was very well written. I also think that of all the people to speak to about the things that Rob Manfred had to say in Time magazine, you're one of the most educated people on the planet to discuss about it. That's why I wanted to talk with you. These comments, like Rob Manfred not having a great week and a half on comments between the Oakland Athletics and now the Houston Astros. But I guess first question that I have for you, and this look, it's a straight up opinion. What is the benefit to Rob Manfred, to baseball, for him to go open up an old wound instead of trying to move on from it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that kind of leads to a question of, is he playing some sort of five-dimensional chess here? Is he, you know, is he willing to answer that question in a different way than he has before? Because he's an asset in different ways before. If you go back and look at the long ESPN profile on Manfred from last year by Don Bonatta Jr., it says in there that Manfred didn't want to rehash any of that Astro stuff, right? So something changed. Now, what is that something that changed? I'm not sure. It can really be as simple as he likes to sometimes give direct answers to things, and he might have just felt at this point, well, all right, 3 years have passed, and I can kind of acknowledge this now. I see people speculating he's trying to take heat off of the A's. Look, Rob Manfred making one comment about the Astros isn't going to change the A's situation, right? That's not a wise approach. So, I'm not sure. It really might have just been a commissioner answering a pretty direct question.
Now, he stated, look, he goes on the record here and says, you know, maybe not punishing anybody, quote, maybe not my best decision ever. The original memo that he had put out very specifically addressed punishment for, you know, management, for people in charge, decision makers, owners, GMs, managers. It did not specify anything for players. I don't understand why he would say, well, you know what, maybe I should have done something. I shouldn't have taken that off the table. He gave Astros players immunity because, from what he had said previously, he wanted to really find out what happened. They didn't give Red Sox players immunity, and they stonewalled him. How do you believe this would have played out if he had not given immunity to the Astros players?
Yeah, so there's some nuance to this. I think ultimately the reason, why do you care whether you can find stuff out? You care whether you can find stuff out so that you can punish, right? The ultimate question I think Manfred was solving for when he gives immunity is, am I going to be able to make these punishments stick? And in his head, he's saying that's the goal, that it would be worse to look bad by trying to punish and having the punishments overturned. There are a few reasons the punishments could have been overturned. I personally think the argument that if we didn't give them immunity, if MLB didn't give the Astros players immunity, we, MLB, could not have found out what happened is silly. It was already out. Ken Rosenthal and I wrote about it. John Boy and others found video, found audio. We had a player on the record. We had other people. And if you look at the MLB investigation that they end up doing, they talked to, what, 60-something people? Maybe it was more than that. I believe it was maybe high 60s. You know, a huge number of people. So you're basically assuming that every single one of those people is going to get together and deny. I think it's incredibly unlikely you'd have that level of cohesion. And let's say you did. Let's say you had every single person inside, not talking to just coaches, players. You're talking about a wide swath of staff, okay? You have every single person down to a man saying the exact same thing. Well, then what's the commissioner faced with? It's a choice. It's, do I believe what was already on the record and published? Do I believe what my eyes and ears are telling me? Or do I believe this, you know, presumably concerted effort to lie? He could still try to punish anyway at that point, right? It all comes back to the fear that the punishment would get overturned. And so I think the really most interesting thing about what Manfred is saying here is, you know, I should have just tried. And if it got overturned, maybe that's still better than what I ended up dealing with. That's my interpretation of this, is that he's saying having, you know, punting on the effort to try to punish, in the end, maybe not the best thing. I might have just rolled the dice.
We're talking with Evan Drellick of The Athletic, senior baseball writer. Evan, I understand that point of view, right? Maybe I could have tried. Maybe I should have tried. But how do you go public with that during a season now, four seasons later? Like, I don't see how. Well, you know what? This is going to improve my Q rating with the public, because it doesn't. This is going to increase interest in baseball. It doesn't. All it did was it riled up more fans to go back to orange team bad. Let's hate the Astros. There's two guys on the team right now from 2017, by the way. But let's go back to hating the Astros, and everything they do is bad. And let's go throw things the bus and bang some trash cans. And like, I don't see any upside to these comments in any way, shape, or form. And you look at every other sport, particularly the NFL, they have something that goes on. They have to insert a punishment. They don't go back and talk about it again. They're moving forward. You're not getting Roger Goodell go back on the record about something that happened 5-6 years ago. I don't understand why this would even be something Rob Manfred would discuss.
Yeah, look, I wrote a column the other day about Manfred's comments on the A's and how they didn't surprise me. And how there'd been a press conference earlier in the year. It was more of an event where he spoke. You know, there was a moderator, it was Tom Verducci, where I was very impressed. And that was the one that surprised me, because he was speaking, kind of acting differently. No, I don't think there is some great justification for doing it when he did it. This interview, I think if you read that Time story, I think it says the interview was conducted in May. You know, and there's a portrait he sat down for, right? So this was clearly like a planned feature. You know, this wasn't an off-the-cuff thing. And it does sound like he said this, I guess at this point, maybe about a month ago. You know, the only, if you kind of pay attention to his style, he is a lawyer, and he is very lawyerly in his interactions. And typically, his responses to questions are somewhat direct. That doesn't mean he won't obfuscate. That doesn't mean he won't misdirect you. That doesn't mean he won't mislead you. But he will typically kind of answer a question, head on in the way you asked it. And, you know, for whatever reason, the guy decided that this was the time I want to express a little regret about the Astros. Why would that be? Well, you know, he is up for re-election. Presumably that would happen later this year. It's been 5 years since he got his last extension. Maybe he's trying to signal to other owners or people who are unhappy that, hey, I should have done better here. Who knows? Or maybe he was just answering a question. I don't think there's an easy five-dimensional chess answer to this stuff.
No, but I do appreciate, look, the fact that, hey, he's up for contract renewal. Once you introduce that aspect to it, I didn't realize he was up for contract renewal, that always changes things. You know, why do politicians suddenly take left turns? Well, they got bad feedback on something, so they're trying to make nicey on it. And, you know, as much as I say Rob Manfred is a lawyer, he's also kind of a politician when it comes to the other owners of baseball. Sure. And how he handles them. So he talks about maybe I shouldn't have taken punishment off. If we just go to straight hypothetical, since the door Rob's opening, what kind of punishment could you levy on an entire team that doesn't compromise the integrity of your season?
Yeah, and look, this was one of the arguments at the time. You know, if you had tried to punish, you already had Astros players who had moved on. It was one of the complicating factors. Well, that's going to annoy owners of other teams. I just signed this guy. Now you're suspended. Like, I think Marwin Gonzalez, if I'm remembering right, might have just signed a free agent deal, maybe with Minnesota. I could be getting dates wrong at this point. But, you know, you look around and go, if you're an owner of another team, you're not going to like that. I always thought the question that would have been hardest is, you know, hitters versus pitchers, people who use the system versus might not have used the system. You know, how do you divvy that up? You know, do you just say, okay, you remember the Astros, you're getting X games. Well, what if you only played a few games with the Astros? How many games do you get that? It's a really difficult assignment to figure it out. And look, I do think that if Manfred had tried to punish, if he did not grant immunity, and then at some point issue suspensions, I do think the union would have gotten some either entirely vacated or reduced. Not because of the fact-finding question. Not because of this question of, did the Astros cheat? It would have been because of the question of, well, what had management done and prescribed? It's like a labor law, labor relations issue. You know, they have to set rules clearly. And there would have been a pretty strong argument that they didn't. And in fact, Manfred and the league had sent out this memo every year, not every year, but 17, 18, 19, and it got progressively stronger on its stances on electronic sign stealing. And it was very clear, we're going to hold the GM and the manager accountable. And the 2019 version of that memo explicitly says, basically, we're not holding the players accountable. We're GM and manager, and oh, by the way, not the players. So you try to punish when you said that. You know, the union's going to have a really good case to get it overturned. And so, again, that's why it goes back to this kind of deeper question. Would Manfred have done better for himself or for the league, you know, for public relations and public perception, had he at least tried and failed? Is that a better or worse outcome than what ended up happening, than the uproar that the lack of punishments caused?
Here in Houston, the biggest gripe for this, for Astros fans, is going to be, you know, you caught the Red Sox twice, and the only thing they got was a video guy got suspended. You caught the Yankees, you sent them a letter, and then you and baseball spent millions of dollars with the Yankees trying to hide it. In the course of the Astros investigation and other investigations, you know, they turned up what could be considered evidence on another dozen and a half teams, and all of it just kind of vanished. Why is there such a target on the Astros when every other team, sign stealing was a league-wide problem? The Astros just took it to another level because they banged a trash can or a massage gun, and other teams were still flashing signs to the batters or to the coaches to flash to the batters. The Astros took it. Look, the Astros did take it to another level, but it was a league-wide problem. Why does this continue to be, man, the Astros, but then when it comes to the Yankees, the Red Sox, other teams, we're just, that never happened?
Yeah, I wrote in my book, I imagine I said it with you and certainly with others, you know, the Red Sox investigation is very unsatisfying. It's this notion that you'd say you're going to hold the manager and GM accountable. Well, even in the report you put together, MLB puts together on the Red Sox, says Alex Cora didn't properly inform some people, maybe it was the clubhouse, whatever the phrasing was. And then it's just all on JT Watkins, right? It was convenient. So the question is, why is it this way? Well, the league has an interest in not having this thing, in not investigating 6, 7, 8 different teams and massively punishing 6, 7, 8 different teams. Now, you know, you said it, and I'll always point it out. The question of severity does matter to many. You can have a debate about whether how far beyond you go breaking a rule matters. Most people in the sport, I would agree with it myself, do look at the Astros situation as different than the Red Sox, Dodgers, Yankees down the list. But you could stand there and say, well, you shouldn't. You know, you can make that argument. But basically, there was a little bit of acceptance of, okay, we're going slightly over the line. And then everybody looked at the Astros as just going way, way, way over the line. And so you're left in a spot where you can try to say, well, you can't justify away you going a little over the line. That should be considered over the line, too, in a serious way. But that's not how it's been handled, I think, by the public. It's not how it's been handled by the commissioner's office. And I'm leery to vest too much power in the commissioner's office, right? I mean, there was convenience for them in this. There was convenience for them in only fining the Yankees and the Red Sox in 2017, which, by the way, was a big mistake because it didn't send nearly strong enough a message to teams like the Astros or the Red Sox in 2018 that any of this behavior was going to get you in serious trouble. You know, it did not deter. So it's messy. It's complicated. I don't think it's a mystery, though, why the Astros remain a focus. We don't know of any team that's done what they did to that level. The league is going to have an interest in not having it expand everywhere. But again, you know, there isn't evidence. I've never seen it. You tell me if you have, of teams doing what the Astros did, not just the base runner system, but the direct relay without a runner on base, entirely an off the field shooting.
No, I mean, other than Joe Girardi with the Freudian slip of to the batter, I mean, second base. And look, I firmly believe that teams are flashing signs to coaches and batters. But like you said, there's a big difference between flashing signs and banging a can, the immediacy of it, the instant translation. You know, you don't have to stare into the dugout or stare at a coach to pick up a sign while you're trying to pick up a baseball. It's much easier and much quicker. I know breaking ball's coming. I agree with you. What the Astros did pushed the envelope further down the line than anybody else did at that time. And why you'd want to do that, and I think the investigation, not just that you want to punish it, but I want to prevent this from happening again. What systems can I create and put in place that make sure I never have to deal with this again? Those to me are obviously the two biggest reasons to have an investigation. Like I said, the fact that Manfred is now, after announcing this, November 2019, that, this is, as you said, a planned sit-down with Time Magazine that happened in May. This wasn't off the cuff. Off the cuff, I'd be more understanding of. You planned it. That, to me, makes it even more questionable.
Yeah, and look, I don't think the questions were planned. I don't think it was like he knew exactly what was coming. I don't know the relationship between that reporter and that outlet, but I would never suggest that the default is to assume he was simply asked something on the spot. But yeah, look, I get it. I understand the question of why now? Why would they be? Why would he want to bring it up right now? And we can play conspiracy theory all day. He wants to get reelected. Maybe he just wants to protect his legacy. Maybe he just feels like enough time has passed. It's hard to know what's in the guy's head on this one.
He's Evan Drellick, senior writer for The Athletic, former Astros beat writer with The Chronicle. He is the author of Winning Fixes Everything. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. It is a very well-written book. I promise if you read it, you're going to learn some things that you didn't know about. Winning Fixes Everything by Evan Drellick. It's a terrific read. Evan, always appreciate your time. Thank you very much. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, Evan Drellick of The Athletic with us on the HR&P guest line.